It's very easy for us to reject something without really thinking about what we're doing. Let me give you an example. On your sheet, you'll see that's our first question. What can be very easy for us to do? It can be very easy for us to reject something without really thinking about what we're doing. I'm going to give you an example. My younger brother really likes video games. Do you like video games, some of you? My younger brother really likes video games. And a while ago, it's a few years ago now, he went onto a games website where there was a competition. You could win a brand new Nintendo console. This was a few years ago, so it was a Nintendo Wii. I know that's ancient technology to some of you. Imagine it was a Switch. Imagine it was a Nintendo Switch. You go onto a games website, you could win a Nintendo Switch. And all you have to do is answer maybe some really easy questions, click, send, and enter the competition. That's what my brother did. Did that, sent away his email, and it was waiting. Oh, I've entered this competition. I might win a Nintendo. Wait and see what happens. And he'd come back to his email and keep on checking it. You know, the next day he'd check. And the day after that he'd check. And he'd check, you know, every day for a bit. And then he was getting so much junk mail in that inbox that he started to just slow down how often he was checking his email. So he got to the point where he'd sort of come to maybe once a week. He'd just have a quick look. And he'd be getting lots of emails from the games website, but they weren't to do with the competition. They were to do with other things. And he just kept on looking, and he never heard anything for ages. And his inbox was getting more and more and more full with junk mail, emails that he just didn't want. He'd click on and say, no, that's not it. Click, no, that's not it. Click, no, that's not it. I'm not interested. Well, about a month and a half went past, and he came back to his email. And he decided to just look through some of the emails he'd already opened. He just scrolled down, and he noticed one. And he'd already opened it. But he clicked on it again, and it said, you've won! You've won the new Nintendo! And he was amazed. Ah, I've won a Nintendo! But then he scrolled down, and he said, to redeem your prize, please get in touch with us within the next 2 weeks. The email had come 3 weeks earlier. He wasn't very happy. So because he was really doubly annoyed with himself because he'd even clicked on this email. So it didn't come up as unread. He'd clicked on this email, but hadn't properly looked at it. He'd clicked on it and thought, oh no, it's not that. And then he'd just carried on with his day. He had other things to do. He'd missed his chance. And so he missed out on something he actually really, really wanted because he didn't think about the message that was right in front of him. And actually, that's actually really easy for us to do. Not just with things like competitions and then forgetting we, you know, applied for them. But all the time, people look at the Bible and they see the message of the Bible and they don't really think about it and they miss out on something amazing. And what we're going to see in today, in the story today, is we're going to see two groups of people. One group of people that see something amazing and see it for what it is and love it. And another group of people that don't really think about it, decide they don't want it straight away, and they miss out on something really amazing. So we're starting off in a city. Our story, you can see in verse 1, we start off in a city called Thessalonica. You could say it Thessalonica. I'm going to say it Thessalonica. I don't think there's a right or wrong way. Thessalonica. What kind of city is Thessalonica like? Well, it's a really big, bustling, buzzing city. There's lots of people. Really, really big population. It's on a port, so there's ships coming and going, and there's people carrying big old heavy crates, and people shouting in the marketplace. It's a busy, bustling city. A little bit like London in many ways. And into this city come two people, Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas are all about telling people about Jesus. That's what they're all about. They think Jesus is amazing. There's nobody like Jesus, and there's nothing like the message of Jesus. It transforms lives. And they know it's true. And so they come to Thessalonica to tell these people all about Jesus. They come with a message. They come to the people of Thessalonica with an amazing message. Now, will the people of Thessalonica listen? Spoilers. Where do they go? Somebody have a look at the passage. Where do Paul and Silas go as soon as they arrive in Thessalonica? Verse 2. Where do they go? They have a custom. They always go to the same place. Where do they go, Asher? Synagogue. They go to the synagogue. Thank you. And it's a little bit like going to church. The Jewish community, all the people that were Jews in the city of Thessalonica, would go on the Sabbath day once a week to the synagogue. And they'd go there and they'd read the scriptures and they'd talk about what it means to be, you know, a good Jew and to live in a way that they think is pleasing to God. Paul and Silas go here. That's where they go. And Paul gets up and he starts to speak. Have a look at verses 2 and 3 and have a look at some of the words that are used to describe what Paul does when he's speaking. Look at some of the words. It says that he reasoned with them in verse 2. It says, verse 3, he explained and proved that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. And then end of verse 3, he says, this Jesus I am proclaiming. So he reasons with them. He shows them the passages. And he says, look at this. This is the book of Isaiah. Do you know the book of Isaiah? Look what it says about the Messiah in the book of Isaiah. Now think about Jesus of Nazareth. Do you see how they match up? He's explaining to them. He's reasoning with them. And everything he's saying is all focused on Jesus. And there are some that really like what they hear, aren't there? Have a look at verse 4. Verse 4, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. So a lot of people see what Paul is saying. They have a look at the passage in front of them, what Paul is showing them, and say, yeah, that makes sense. I can see that the Messiah of the Old Testament is Jesus of Nazareth from a few years ago. I can see that connection, and they get it. And they believe in Jesus, and it's amazing. Some people aren't quite so impressed. Some people think a little bit differently. And this is what those other people are a little bit like. And I'm going to have to get my usual Jewish person in the synagogue outfit on for this. So let's imagine I'm a regular guy. I'm in the synagogue. Paul is speaking. Okay? Rah, 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 rah. That's what's going on. Nice to have a new speaker, isn't it? Guest speaker. Breath of fresh air, right? Right, what's he... talking about Psalms. Oh, Psalms. I know all about Psalms. I did a sermon on Psalms not long ago. It was very, very good. He's saying something different to what I said, though. Why are you nodding? Don't nod. That's wrong. That's not what I said. Don't know about this guy. What's he doing? Is that Isaiah? He's quoting from I did Isaiah as well, actually. I know all about Isaiah. What? He's saying Isaiah is all about Jesus of Nazareth. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Why are you agreeing with him? Are you saying he's better than I am? No, he's wrong. I'm definitely right. I don't think I like this guy. This is actually quite wrong. I don't think this is good. I think we need to do something about this. And then after the service, this guy gets up. Right, I'm not standing for this. Right, and off he goes. Off he goes into the streets, goes past the port with all the ships. No, I don't want to buy any of your fish, thank you very much. And he walks around here, there's a beggar, I don't want to buy anything of that. Charity guy trying to get some funds. No, I don't have time, I'm late for a meeting. Round he goes, and he gets to the marketplace. Comes to the marketplace, and he looks for the dodgiest characters he can possibly find. Some guys in the corner that are in the shadows, that are just sort of sitting there looking up, you know, wanting to get up to no good. And he goes over to them, excuse me. Got a job for you. Now, and we don't know this, but you might have paid them. I'm going to go with the idea that you paid them. Now, what would you say if I was to say to you, I'll give you some money, you and your crew, you can go out into the city and just go crazy. Just smash whatever you want, just cause a riot, just get really angry, and that's what I want you to do. But we'll get in trouble, won't we? No, you won't get in trouble. Because we're going to blame it all on these guys called Paul and Silas. Okay, that's the whole idea. You cause a riot, and we'll blame it on Paul and Silas. So let me get this straight. You want us to go and just cause complete chaos, and you'll give us money for it, and we won't get in trouble. I think we can manage that. And that's what happens. A big old riot starts. I'll take this off now. A big old riot starts, and the city just gets taken over by this angry mob. Have a look at verse 5. That's exactly what happens, isn't it? They form a mob and they start to riot in the city. And what they do is they rush to Jason's house. That's where Paul and Silas have been staying. They rush to Jason's house looking for Paul and Silas. Right, we're going to get Paul and Silas. They don't find Paul and Silas. There's just Jason there and a few other believers. have a look at verse 5. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they couldn't find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, saying, "These men have caused trouble all over the world, and now they've come here, and Jason has welcomed them into their house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." So the officials, the city officials are there. The whole city's in a riot. They just want to calm everything down. They don't really even know who Paul and Silas are. Maybe they know who Jason is. But they just want everyone to just go back to normal. They want everything to settle down. And so it says in these verses that they let Jason go on bail, doesn't it? That's what it says. And what that probably means is the officials probably says something like this: "Right, Jason, come here, come here. This is just getting way out of hand. I don't really get what you've done wrong, but we can't have this happen anymore. So this Paul and this Silas guy, they need to leave. They can't be at your house anymore. So first chance you get, you need to send them out. We'll let you go now, but you have to get rid of Paul and Silas." That's what they say to Jason. And that's what happens. And so some of the Thessalonians believed in the message. The gospel is this amazing gift that was coming through Paul's message that he was giving in the synagogue. And some of them got that. Some of them saw, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. If he's the Messiah, that means God has already made a way for people that are broken and sinful, like you and me. We can be friends with God now. We can be forgiven, and we can go to heaven. Some of the Thessalonians get that, and they see the gospel as what it really is, an amazing gift. And they take that, and they receive it, and it's amazing. But some of them, they have that gift right in front of them, and they say, "No! Don't like it. It's different to what I think. Paul's getting more attention than me. The name of Jesus is getting more attention than me. I don't want it. I don't like it." And we might look at that and we might think, that's just a bit silly. Actually, it's really sad. Because people still do that today, all the time, with the message of Jesus. They hear what the world says about Jesus, and they think, "No, I'm not interested." And they haven't really ever found out about what it really is about. And it's really sad because they're missing out on something amazing. A little bit like my brother, who kind of didn't think about that message that he had in his inbox and missed out on something he actually really wanted because he didn't bother to actually think about it properly. Was thinking about something else, was doing something else that he thought was more important at the time. And it's really sad when that happens because people are missing out on the truth. The truth that is life-giving and is more important than just this life. It's important for the life to come as well. And it's all because of the hype, isn't it? Think about that angry mob. Everyone's so angry. Oh, we hate Paul and Silas. Oh, they come all this way and they're preaching all this stuff. No one's thinking about what they're actually saying. It's really sad. That's what a lot of the Thessalonians were like. And so Paul and Silas, they can't stay in Thessalonica, can they? They can't stay, so they head off. They leave Thessalonica, and they go to a place called Berea. That's the second city that they go to. On your sheets, you see, second city they go to is Berea. And where do they go when they come to Berea? Where's the place they go?
Synagogue.
Synagogue again. Synagogue is their normal thing. First place they come, when they come to a new city, straight to the synagogue. That's where they always go first. How do you think Paul and Silas are feeling at this point? They come into another city, into another synagogue. Everything that's just happened. What do you think? Excited? Disappointed? Worried? What do you think? What do you think, Johnny?
Hopeful?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I kind of agree with that. Probably quite hopeful. Yeah, Adam? Scared? I think they could have been a little bit scared as well. Yeah, what do you think? Apprehensive, good word, absolutely. These are all good words. Yeah, I think they would have been hopeful. I think they would have been excited because they knew that God was the one who was really in control. But they may well have been scared as well because it's scary when you have a whole mob of people who are out to get you. But they come to a new city, they come into a new synagogue, and they're going to get up and they're going to speak to this group. And what Paul probably does is he probably says the same kind of thing that he said in Thessalonica, the same kind of message. He opens up the scriptures and he says, look at this, look at the book of Isaiah, look what it says about the Messiah. Can you see how the Messiah that was promised hundreds of years ago is the same as the Nazareth from Jesus of Nazareth from just a few years ago? Can you see the connection? That's what Paul's going to do. It's all about Jesus. And the Bereans, well, how do the Bereans react? Have a look at verse 11. What does it say in verse 11 the Bereans' character is like? Have a look. Verse 11. What is the Bereans' character like? Stan. They're more noble in character. Thank you. They're more noble in character is what it says in verse 11. And so this is what it means. When they sit there listening to Paul, they're not the same as the way the Thessalonians were. This is a little bit what the Bereans are like, okay? They're sitting there. Ah, guest preacher. We all like a guest preacher. Every week, same guys, gets boring. Guest preacher's good. What's he talking? Psalms. You got your Bible? Yeah. Psalms. I need to make sure that what he's saying up there is the same as what I've got in here. Yeah, that makes sense. Do you see? Because what he's saying there, yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. That's interesting, because I've not heard that before. But that, no, it's actually, it's really there, isn't it? Yeah. Isaiah. Isaiah. He's saying something about myself. That's amazing. I've never seen that before, but he's right, that verse. Look, you see how it says that? Yeah, have you seen that? That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And then after the service, they go up to Paul and they talk to him about it. I never thought about that before, because you said this about that verse, but I always thought it was about something else, but it's about that, isn't it? That's amazing. And then once Paul is doing something else, I'm going to tell my friends about this. And so off they go. Takes his headscarf out because he's out of the synagogue now. Goes past the port with all the ships. Goes past that same beggar, maybe gives him a coin. Oh, charity worker. No, thank you. He runs past them. And he gets to his friend's house. That wasn't even staged, but that was perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Have you got your Bible? Go get your Bible. I need to show you something. Friend goes and gets his Bible. Comes back. Wow, what are you talking about the Bible? Look, there's a passage. I heard this thing I met today, and I want to know what you think about it. Have a look at Isaiah. Okay, yeah, Isaiah, yeah. We know Isaiah. Yeah, but do we, though? Do we? Look at this verse. Look what it says. Now, I just heard somebody say something about Jesus of Nazareth, and this is actually about Jesus of Nazareth. Really? Yeah, look. And together, they start to look at these passages and examine them and think about them and share them with each other and share ideas with each other. And that's exactly what happens here. Look at verse 12. They have a look at what's happening here in the passage. They examine it. Look what it says, verse 11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul had said was true. And because of that, verse 12, many of them believe, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. And so because they stop and they really think about what Paul is saying, and they look at the passage and they think, does this make sense? They see what's really happening. They really look at it and they believe. And so they get that amazing gift of the gospel. They see that Jesus is the way to be saved because they took it seriously and they listened. And what happens next? Well, we have a look in verse 13. Who shows up in verse 13? Can you see who shows up in verse 13? Johnny? Crowds from where? Thank you, Thessalonica. Yeah, exactly. All the Jews from Thessalonica, they all hear about Paul and Silas now being in Berea. And they're doing that same message. And so they round up the same people. Right, we're off to Berea. And look at their tactics. Their tactics are exactly the same in verse 13. Agitating the crowds, stirring them up. And so because they do that, Paul and Silas have to leave Berea. Well, actually, Paul just leaves Berea. Paul goes on to Athens. But Silas and Timothy stay there in Berea. And so that's our story. But what are the lessons for us, do you think? Let's think about the lessons for us. And maybe you can think of some lessons already. I think it'd be really good for you to talk to your parents, talk to your friends, talk to each other afterwards, and say, you know what I really got from that passage is this. Because often we get different things, don't we? And sometimes one person will think of something from the Bible that's really helpful that won't have occurred to you. So it's really important that we keep on talking to each other about it. But this is the big, big lesson that I want us to think about. Lots of little ones that you'll get as well. But this is the big thing that I think this passage teaches us. Always have your Bible open. Not just the church. I mean, that's the first place we should start, isn't it? If you come to church And someone like me is telling you about the Bible. Someone like Tim is telling you about the Bible. Someone like Paul Vogt in Sunday school, or Jan, or Raffi, or Katie, or Pauline is telling you about the Bible. Always have your Bible open so that you can check that what they're saying matches what God says. Because you know what? You don't need to hear what I think. You need to hear what the Bible says. You need to hear what God says. That's way more important. So when you're in Sunday school, when you're in church, always have your Bible open. And that's grown-ups as well. Bring your own Bible. What if you get here and there's no church Bibles around? Bring your own Bible. You can scribble notes in it. There's no rule against that just because we provide them. Bring your own Bible if you want. Always have your Bible open. What about if you're at school? So sometimes there's places where you can't literally have your Bible open. You can't be walking around your school corridor with your Bible open all the time, can you? It just doesn't work. But if you're at school and your RS teacher, your religious studies teacher, tells you something about Christianity, do you just accept that? Oh, Christianity is like this. I know what it's like because my RS teacher told me. Or do you look at the Bible and see what the Bible says? At home, always have your Bible open. If you're at school and someone says, oh, I heard this about Christianity, I heard the Christians were all like this. And you think, oh, I never heard that before. Are there any Christians at your school that you can go and talk to? You should be buddying up. If there are other Christians at school that you know of, go and talk to them. They're your allies. Go and say, oh, Miss said this earlier. Is that right? Does the Bible say that? No, it doesn't. No, it says this. Let's look, look, look. Use your buddies. Use your Christian buddies. They're your allies. Always have your Bible open. Even if you can't have it physically open, you can get it on your phone. And as soon as you get home, check. Don't just take what the world gives you. Because the world gets it wrong. But God doesn't. Always have your Bible open. And for all of us as grown-ups as well, the world is always giving us messages about what the norms, our norms should be. What is good and evil? What is good things to do? What is bad things to do? What's the right way to think? What does it mean to be human? Those messages are coming at us all the time. Are we meeting those messages with our Bibles open? Colossians 2 verse 8 says this, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on what? Human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." And so when we're listening to the news, what's going on in the media, when we're looking at social media, there's a lot of emotional noise, isn't there? Emotions get heightened, and the truth slips down to the bottom of the agenda. And we all start to wonder, what's actually true? How can we face a world like that with our Bibles closed? Keep your Bibles open. Always have your Bibles open. And talk to each other as Christian brothers and sisters. Don't neglect meeting up with each other and saying, what do you think about that? Because I just really don't know. And talk to each other. Talk about what the Bible says. You know, the world will tell you one thing about, you know, what the origin of man is. Are you just going to take that? Or are you going to measure it up against what the Bible says? What's going to be your final authority, your first point of reference, when all these messages are coming at you from every direction? Always have your Bibles open and use the church fellowship that God has made you a part of. And if we're really doing that, then Ephesians 4, we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. The opinions and the theories and the values, they change every few decades. At the moment, it feels like they change every few months. The Bible has endured for centuries. It is God's eternal word to us. This should be the lens through which we interpret everything around us. Always keep your Bibles open. Always have them open. Take the example of the Bereans. As soon as they hear something, they check, they examine, they talk. And don't ask the question, do I like this? Ask the question, is this true? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, perhaps you're not really sure, you're kind of looking into it, you're wondering about what purpose of life is, what I should be living for, and you're just kind of wondering, this, can I just commend to you just reading this book and trusting that God, your creator, will use it to speak to you? He's the author of what we have here. It's not just a book. It's God's voice to us. And God has made this promise to us. If we earnestly seek him, we will find him. And so if you're wondering, I don't know if there's a God, and I just think there's a space, and I kind of want there to be, but I'm not sure, it's scary. And if you earnestly ask him, he has promised that he will respond to that. Seek me and you will find me. And so please, if you're not a Christian, if you're not sure, please don't just walk away from this. Please don't just take the message of the world and say, oh yeah, I know about Christianity, I've heard about it on this, on that. Look for yourself. Look for yourself. My brother, a few years ago, missed out on something he really, really, really wanted because he didn't look into that message that was right in front of him with any great seriousness. It's so easy for us to do the exact same thing in life. We have the Bible, we have God's truth right in front of us. Let's take it seriously. Let's listen to it. Let's prayerfully come to it and trust that God will use it. Let's ask for God's help. It's not always easy, is it? But if God has given it to us, he can help us to understand it. Let's ask for his help. And let's allow this truth that we have with us every single day, let's allow the truth that is in there, the truth of the gospel, to change our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the Bereans who heard that message from Paul and looked really closely at what he was saying and looked at the scriptures to see if it made sense. And we thank you that through their kind of noble sort of character, you saved them. We pray that if there's any here today who are still looking into these things and are not really sure where to start, we pray that they would seek you earnestly and that they would find you. But we pray that you'd help us to take the Bible seriously. Help us to always have it open and help us to grow in our knowledge of you and our love for you every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.